Welcome to part one of a special podcast series from Finnegan, breaking down the Federal Circuit's first decision regarding derivation proceedings under the America Invents Act. The episode features a conversation between Finnegan attorneys Jeff Totten and Alyssa Green. Jeff, a partner, focuses on trial-level patent and trade secret litigation and PTAB proceedings. He has represented clients in inventorship disputes in both district court and the PTAB. Jeff regularly counsels clients regarding derivation and correction of inventorship proceedings. Alyssa, an associate, focuses on patent litigation before U.S. District Court and the International Trade Commission. She has represented clients in inventorship disputes in District Court, the ITC, and the PTAB. Alyssa also counsels clients on navigating the interplay between the various forums and on best practices for avoiding derivations and other inventorship disputes.
Hello, everyone. Today, we're talking about the Federal Circuit's recent decision in Global Health Solutions versus Selmer, which was decided on August 26, 2025. Alyssa, can you tell us at a high level what this case was about?
Sure, Jeff. So this was the first Federal Circuit decision involving a derivation out of the PTAB. And the PTAB in that instance had found no derivation, which really means no issue with inventorship. And Jeff, before we really get into the substance of this decision, can you provide a little bit of an overview of what exactly is a derivation?
It's a great question. These proceedings are rare as hen's teeth. They don't happen a lot, and they're even more rarely taken to an ultimate conclusion. So many folks are not familiar with them. Derivations are the proceedings that replaced interferences when the AIA was enacted. They determine who invented an idea where one party alleges that a second party took its idea and filed a patent application based on it. So the first party to file was actually the second party to have the idea, and they took that idea from the first party. In essence, the board, the Patent Trial and Appeal Board, who hears derivation proceedings, is trying to determine who conceived of the idea first and whether the second party, who was first to file their patent application, took their idea based on information communicated to them from the petitioner. This is different than an interference proceeding, but there are similarities. Conception still matters. We're still looking at who came up with the invention, but there's an emphasis on the communication between the parties and trying to corroborate that communication and whether the claimed invention that was later claimed was actually in that communication. Now, we mentioned that the Global Health Solutions case was the first case involving derivations that's been heard by the Federal Circuit. Alyssa, can you tell us why that's so?
Sure, Jeff. So like you mentioned, these proceedings are exceedingly rare. But the facts that arise for a derivation are pretty common. You have collaborations frequently result in disputes of who is the inventor for the invention. But we're seeing very few derivations filed, and even those that are filed, which at this point has only been 29, according to public records, even fewer have been instituted. To date, only two decisions have made it to a final written decision, and one of those being this global health case that we're talking about today. And keep in mind, that number of 29, that's going back all the way to 2012. And a big reason for this is that there's a high burden on the evidence of collaboration, like you mentioned.
Are there other reasons why these derivation proceedings are so rare?
Sure, Jeff. So there's this high burden of evidence on collaboration. And while that may seem easy in practice, we frequently see that the evidence that parties do have lacks the level of detail that the board might require. There's also a time bar that heavily defers filings. Parties need to file the derivation within 1 year of publication of that application that they're challenging. And not only do they have to file the derivation within a year, they also have to file their own application within that year. But more than anything, it really comes back to evidence and whether the parties feel like they have adequate evidence to bring this cause of action. And really what we're seeing at the board is most of the decisions that result in denial of institution do so because of insufficient evidence. So Jeff, we've talked about, you know, the high points of derivations. Can you give us a brief summary of the Federal Circuit's decision in Global Health v. Zellner?
Yeah, of course. They started by kind of mirroring what we're doing today, reminding us all what a derivation is. They stated that derivation proceedings center on whether the petitioner, the party filing the derivation, conceived and communicated the invention before the respondent filed his or her application. They looked at the differences between derivation proceedings and interferences, which had been in place before the AIA. They confirmed that those are distinct proceedings. That said, the Federal Circuit told us that cases arising in the context of pre-AIA interferences can still provide helpful guidance regarding inventorship disputes involved in derivations, but that they have to be, quote, carefully considered, end quote, before being applied in derivation proceedings because of the differences between the two types of cases.
And Jeff, I think that that is an important point, at least as to actual practice for derivations. I know that you and I have seen that with the limited case law on derivations, I think we're frequently looking to interference proceedings to get any kind of indication of what may be required, what's expected, and how to be successful in a derivation.
That's right, Alyssa. And what we see is that the communication between the parties is not as important in interference proceedings. However, it is something that the board looks at, and now the Federal Circuit has confirmed should be looked at in deciding whether a derivation should be found. We can run through the facts of Global Health Solutions a little bit. It's an interesting case because it came down to the evidence that the parties held.
And Jeff, what exactly was that evidence in Global Health?
It was a series of emails exchanged between the parties and emails internal to one of the parties showing the time that each party conceived of the invention. And what the board had found and the Federal Circuit affirmed was sufficient to support the board's finding was that the respondent, the party who filed their application first, had conceived of the idea at issue just before the same day, just before receiving the email from the petitioner. So there was evidence here of an independent conception, and that evidence was sufficient to establish independent conception by the respondent. And as a result, the board was correct to ultimately decide that there was no derivation proven in this case.
And Jeff, when you say earlier that day, I mean, we're talking a span of just over 3 hours. The alleged inventors on both sides were really coming up with this at essentially the same time. But what saved the original filer of the application and that inventor is not only did he have emails suggesting that he had invented it around 1 p.m. that day versus the 4 p.m. of the other gentleman, he had communication that could be corroborated by somebody else. And it was detailed enough that the board and eventually the Federal Circuit could distinguish that this was the same invention as claimed.
That's right, Alyssa. This case does highlight the importance of corroborating evidence to support derivation claims. The board's rules and trial practice guide encourage parties to file declarations supporting their derivation claims. In fact, at least one is required to corroborate the conception story. Here, what we see in Global Health is that both sides had corroborating evidence and witnesses to help establish their respective communications. And those mere hours, the 3-hour difference between the development of the two parties, really decided the case for the board. That was affirmed by the Federal Circuit.
Jeff, it was a pleasure to discuss this case, and I think it's very exciting that we're finally getting Federal Circuit case law on derivations. I look forward to, in the next episode, you and I are going to discuss a little bit about best practices for avoiding and litigating a derivation in light of this decision. So we look forward to people joining us for the next episode.
Yeah, that should be a lot of fun. That's really the question that many clients come to us with is, how do one, we protect against this? And if we find ourselves in a situation where inventorship is disputed, what do we need to prove and where should we be filing? So look forward to next time when we talk about those aspects of this. Thank you, Alyssa.
You've been listening to Jeff Totten and Alyssa Green of Finnegan, one of the largest IP law firms in the world. For more commentary on intellectual property news and issues, to listen to other podcasts, and to receive additional information on the firm, please visit www.finnegan.com. Thank you for listening to this podcast from Finnegan.